You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, last week we were cruising through the book of Titus, and we're all at all campuses transcribing the book of Titus as well. We've got our journals. If you don't have one, you can get one at the campus that you're at. And we're going to turn all of those in on June 9th. So you overachievers that have already finished Titus, and are like, when do I turn it in? You have to wait till June 9th. You can keep doing other books, write other books of the Bible if you want to. That's great. But to be able to turn that in on June 9th. We were talking about in the book of Titus, Paul talks about false teachers is what he talks about in the beginning part that we did last week. And I used an illustration where I had AirPods that were a fake one and a real one. And then I said that the real one you need to cover in truth. And I used Aggie Maroon. And right as I said that, somebody sent this in. So let me just show you what other people think truth is. Just for y'all Baylor folks there that went for it in that realm. That's where I went. But we're switching here from talking about false teachers. We're going to be in chapter 2 of Titus. If you got that, turn there. And we're going to be looking into chapter 2 of Titus. Now, he's going to transition here, and he's talking about the family of God. We're going to talk about old men. We're going to talk about young men. We're going to talk about old women. We're going to talk about young women. And we're going to look at the family of God. And so we want to be able to understand that. Now, here's the first thing that you need to know is the church is the family of God. The church is the family of God. Men and women in the church, young, old, we are the family of God. That's who we are. That's what we're about. Now, I'm going to hit a lot of things here on this message. It's going to be like a bullet point message. So this is for all of us, all the points I'll give you. But there's going to be specifics that are going to talk about men and women, old and young, because we are the family of God. Many of y'all will remember the old song, Bill and Gloria Gaither, and it said, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I am a part of the family of God. We actually at times used to sing that as a church. Everybody across the aisles would hold hands and we'd sing, I'm so glad we're a part of the family of God. We'd sing it. You don't want me singing it. Obviously, you can tell that just by a note. But to know that this is the family of God. So he's going to talk about men. He's going to talk about women. He's going to talk about older. He's going to talk about younger. Now, let me give you three quick things of why this is a challenging message in our culture. Number one is we don't want to say that there's men and women anymore. We want to say that it is interchangeable instead of interconnected. That men and women are interchangeable instead of interconnected. The Bible talks about men and women being interconnected. So you can't just dismiss and say, we don't need men anymore. We need men. You can't just say, well, we don't need women anymore. We need women. We need men. We need women. We need that interconnectedness. And so when we get to this, he's going to specifically talk about men, this is what you should do. Women, this is what you should do. And so it's not an interchangeable. It's an interconnected. We need men. We need women. Watching cultures, you'll see men will be dismissed. Women will be dismissed. We only need men. We only need women. No, we need both. And that's how God's put it together. Secondly, the reason that this is a challenging place to talk about is no one wants to be old. No one wants to be old, but he's going to talk about old men. He's going to talk about old women, all right? Now, just to discourage you even more, in Greek culture, old men over 50, okay? So it gets worse. 50's not the new 30 for Paul. 50's the 50 is what it is. And none of us, we're obsessed with youthfulness, aren't we? We're obsessed with being young. We're obsessed. And I just want to tell you this. There is great, great power in being older and mature. There's great wisdom in that. Embrace your age and embrace your stage. So it's difficult to talk about for that reason. Secondly, gray hair is a crown, a glorious crown, it says in Proverbs. And in it is found the way of righteousness. Be proud about being old. Be proud about being young. Youthfulness is an obsession in our culture, but there's wisdom and value in the miles that are behind you. Number three, the church is seen as an event when it was intended to be a family. Church is seen as an event nowadays when it was intended to be a family. Well, I might go to the Astro game. I might go to church. Those are not equal. The Astro game is an event. The Texans game is an event. You know, this, that, and the other, whatever you want to put it, a little league event, all those sort of things for the kids stuff. It is an event. This is a family of God. And when you miss the fact that church is a family of God and you think it is just an event, your spiritual heart and life will decrease. This is not an event. This is a family of God. I talk to people all the time in our church. Can't talk to everybody, but I try to talk to as many as I can and to be able to just encourage. And there's folks that go through pain all the time in our church. And here's what I hear all the time. I don't know how I would ever make it through this without the church. That's a family statement, not an event statement. You can make it without the movies. You can make it without sports. You can make it without eating out, but you can't make it without the brothers and sisters of Christ. And so what's happened in our culture is men and women are interchangeable. And I'm not talking about transgenderism. I'm talking about just, we don't need men. We don't need women. We just need one of the, it's interchangeable instead of interconnected. Youthfulness is the obsession and church is an event. And Paul is going to tell Timothy as a young pastor in the island of Crete, no, sir, we need men. We need women. I did an entire message on the blessing of men and women. It's a QR code at the bottom of your listening guide. You can listen to later out of 1 Timothy 2. We need men. We need women. We need old people. We need young people. And we need to see church as a family, not as an event. And when we get our minds off those things, we end up getting in a mess. So look at what happens here. Paul is going to teach us about being a family of God. That's what he's going to teach us about on this Mother's Day. I want you to look at Titus 2. Verse 1 and 2. Look at Titus 2, verse 1 and 2 is where we're going to start. Here's what it says. But you, so we're switching from false teaching to calling out the false teachers to Titus and to say, Titus, but you are to proclaim these things consistent with sound teaching. Okay, that's what I just gave you on point one just a minute ago. Number 2, verse 2. Older men are to be self-controlled, worthy of respect, sensible and sound in faith, love and endurance. Older men, here's where we get to first. We're going to hit these fast. We got a lot of bullet points and a lot of lunch plans. I understand. I know. Older men, 4 things that make older men rock. That's your point. Okay. Put it in there. 4 things that make older men rock. He's going to give us 4 attributes of being an older man. Now that in Greek culture was over 50, but hey, we can drop it down a little bit. We can push it up a little bit. This is about what it means to be a mature man. 4 things that make older men rock. Just to give this a little bit of a context. Can I just tell you, I did a little research. Do you know that Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen are 74 years old this year? Older men can still rock. Paul McCartney, 81. Let it be, brother. Let it be. Right? Mick Jagger, 80 years old. Willie Nelson, bringing it at 91. For my generation, John Bon Jovi, 62. Older men rock. All right? Now, here's the things that he's going to give us that tell us how they rock, not just with a guitar, but the first thing it says, self-control. Self-control. It says older men are able to are to be self-controlled. We'll see that with younger men in just a second. There should be a control to an older man. There should not be a craziness to him. Number 2, worthy of respect. Worthy of respect. What does worthy of respect mean? I like to give it this phrase, marked maturity. Marked maturity. That he's worthy of respect. Number 3, sensible, discernment, good judgment. Let me give you this phrase. I've been thinking about this. What does it mean to be sensible? Sensible for an older man means you don't need to be rescued. You don't need to be rescued. The older man, the mature man, should not be somebody we're going, don't do that, and we got to keep rescuing. There should be a fun to older men. I'm past 50 as well. We should be a lot of fun. Have a great time. Order appetizers and dessert. Have a great time. But there shouldn't be a silliness to older men. There shouldn't be a childlikeness to an older man. There should be a sensibleness. They should be trusted with finances. They should be trusted with leadership. They should be trusted with discernment and good judgment, not a continual rescue. Paul says, I want you to be sound in faith, in love, and endurance. You're blank there. Endurance, sound in faith, love, and endurance. Look at what he says. Older men are to be self-controlled, worthy of respect, sensible and sound in faith, love, and endurance. Now, when he talks about an older man here, he's not talking about an elder of an office in the church. He's talking about age, not office. So he's saying, here, I want you older men, and this is younger men, this is where you're going. This is what should be developing in your life. I want you to be sensible. I want you to be self-controlled. I want you to be worthy of respect. I want you to be sound in faith, love, and judgment. I was trying to think of a person that really illustrates this, and a guy came to mind in our church. His name was Charlie Poor. Charlie Poor. I mean, an older man that is all of these things right here. An amazing man. Let me tell you just about Charlie. He's in heaven right now. 87 years old when he died. He had polio as a young child in the 1940s. He was wheelchair bound since he was a little boy. Endurance. He was married 59 years to Joanna Poor, who's in heaven as well. Our counseling center is named after their daughter who died of cancer at a young age, Juliana Poor Memorial Counseling Center. That whole counseling center is named after because Charlie started the counseling center. Amazing, amazing man of God. He was a Houston's First member since 1964. He was under five pastors in our church. I bet you couldn't name three. Me, Brother John, David Self, to be able to see that, a godly, godly man. My wife and I say this a lot when we see older couples. We say, let's be like them. Let's be like them. Let's be like Charlie. Let's be like Joanna. Godly, great, amazing man and woman. Look at verse 6 now. We're going to jump to the younger guys, and then we're going to jump back to the ladies. I'm trying to put the guys together, and then we're going to jump to the ladies, okay? So we're going to jump from verse 2 all the way to verse 6, and here's what it says in verse 6. It says this, in the same way, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Okay, did you notice the older men got four things, and the younger men got one? The older men got self-control is what the younger men are going to get to. Worthy of respect, sensible, sound in faith, love, and endurance. So they got more than four things. They got kind of a bunch of things there. And then the younger guys get one thing. Here's the thing for younger men. You ready? Here it is. Control yourself. That's why 90% of the things you'll say when you're raising a young boy is this. Quit it. Right, moms? Just quit it. Just quit it. Sit down and quit it. Sit down and quit it. 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 Shh. No. Is that a good idea? That is not a good idea. That is never a good idea. That will not be a good idea. That's why most of the guys, I'm taking a guess here. I won't even say most. I'm going to say that there's some guys out there that when you were a younger man, you either thought about, you did, but you didn't get it done, or you did and you got it done, stole a street sign somewhere in your life. Everybody, well, that'd be cool. Never will a girl ever think, that would be cool to get a ladder and to steal a street sign to hang it in their room. It'll never come through a female brain. It comes through every guy's brain, and you should not do that. I have a good friend that went to jail because he did that. He's a good guy, and he didn't go long, just for like a couple hours, but I mean, it's still a problem. Young men, hear me, control yourself. Control yourself sexually, control yourself emotionally, control yourself physically, control yourself financially. Control yourself. Why is car insurance more for young men than anybody else? Because the insurance companies are smart. That's why. They know this is going to be a problem to put a car in this guy's hands. So there's got to be a place here, and I've been a young man too, I understand. We've got to control ourselves. Everything doesn't have to be at level 10 adrenaline. See, bored young men without vision and adventure bring destruction. Hear that? Bored young men without vision and adventure bring destruction. And I submit to you guys, the greatest adventure you will ever have is walking with God. Go on a mission trip, backpacking to Nepal. We do trips like that. Go to unreached people groups. Get on a plane. Go someplace. We'll help you get there. And let that happen where you get some adventure and adrenaline and some fun and some excitement that is driven towards the kingdom of God instead of towards destruction. So young men, I hear you. I've been there. We've got to be able to have self-control sexually, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Save as much money as you can, young men. You do not know how life gets so expensive. You have no clue how expensive this thing's about to get. So don't buy a bunch of toys. Invest it and save it and then spend it later. Let me give you just a little science behind this. One study found that the teenage brain is more likely to take risks and seek out new experiences than the adult brain. Amen. Young men whose brains develop an average of 2 years later than women's brains. Can I get an amen from the ladies in the room? How about that? Like, come on, come on, come on. The rational part of a teenage brain isn't fully developed until age 25 or so. In fact, the recent research found that the adult and teen brains work differently. Yes, adults think with the prefrontal cortex, the brain's rational part. So the prefrontal cortex of young men and young women is not fully developed until age 25. And you can get in a whole lot of trouble by 25. Whole lot of trouble. Have a whole lot of scars. Not legal issues, but I'm just talking about make some bad decisions. Be really careful and bounce it off wisdom and ask, what should I do? And they're going to tell you, you know what? You need to control yourself a little bit more, is what they're going to say. So Paul gives one thing. That's it, guys. One thing. One thing for young men. Now let's jump and let's look at the attributes for the ladies. We're going to jump back to chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Remember, we went from verse 2 to verse 6 so we could get the guys. Now, ladies, let's look at the ladies. In the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to excessive drinking. They are to teach what is good so that they may encourage the women, the younger women, to love their husband. Then it gets into younger women. Let's take it like this. Older ladies, here's the first thing I want you to know. You are exceedingly valuable. Four attributes that make older women exceedingly valuable. There's a tendency, I did a little research with ladies asking, how should I fill in this blank? There's a tendency for older ladies to feel like they're not valuable anymore. Well, what do I do if I'm not doing this with the home? What if I do if I'm not doing this at work? What do I do if I'm not as busy as I used to be? What if I do this? And there's a tendency to feel like you're not valuable. And so the phrase I want you to hear, older ladies, is you're exceedingly valuable. Exceedingly valuable. And Paul's going to give us a couple reasons, four reasons of the value that we have. There, so you are exceedingly valuable. I love this song. It's a great song. I've quoted it before. I just think it's a great song. The Older I Get by Alan Jackson. Here's what he said. If they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop, and that's the truth. Funny how it feels. I'm just getting to the best years yet. The older I get. Ladies, listen. Men, listen. And I don't mind all the lines from all the times I've laughed and cried. Souvenirs and little signs of the life I lived. Heard someone say it like this. The map in our heart tells our future. The map on our face tells our past. And to be able to say, I want to be a godly woman as I age that is exceedingly valuable. And the first thing he says is reverent. Reverent. He says, ladies, I want you to be a respecter of God. I want you to trust the Lord in his ways and his plans. I want you to be reverent to the Lord. Number two, I want you to be truthful. I want you to be truthful. That's where he says, I'm taking the phrase, not slanderers. So I'm taking the negative. He says, don't be a slanderer. And I'm making it the positive of be truthful. Not slanderers. Now, this is very interesting, ladies. Very interesting. The Greek word here for slanderers is the word, let me find it here, diablos. Diablos. Do you know what that is? 34 times in the New Testament, that's the Greek word for the devil. So he's saying here, don't be devilish in your speech. Gossip, cutting people down, whatever it is. Don't be devilish in your speech. Be truthful in your speech. Be truthful in your speech. James 3, verse 6. This is for all of us. We all need to hear this word. In the tongue is fire, and the tongue is a world of unrighteousness. It's placed among the parts of our bodies, but it pollutes the whole body. It sets the course of life on fire. Listen, and it is a fire set by hell. So he's saying here, now older women, I don't just want you chit-chatting, bringing people down. I want you to be reverent and trust the Lord. And I want you to not be devilish in your words. I want you to be truthful in your words. So in Siena and Cyprus and downtown, digital family, truthful in your words. Yes, telling hard truths because you've got the wisdom to be able to say it, but saying it in the right ways as well. You have so much wisdom to share. Don't waste your words on things that don't build people up. Number three, processes her pain by faith. No excessive drinking. Let's just get real for a second here. Processes her pain by faith is the way I'm taking this. Paul takes this and he says clearly, no excessive drinking for your older ladies. Now in the island of Crete, where this is written, Titus is the pastor at Crete, drinking was a virtue. It was celebrated in the culture. Now, some of y'all are nervous. What's a Baptist pastor going to say about drinking? Here we go, right? Okay, we're not going all that. I've always said, if it hurts your walk, if it hurts your witness, you should not do it, okay? I don't think you can make a case for total abstention for everybody in every situation in a biblical case for it. But you can make a case for wisdom. And what happens here is as an older lady, as I've been doing my research, there's a lot of pain that you are carrying as an older lady. You maybe have lost a child. You maybe have lost a marriage. You maybe have lost a job. You may have lost a parent. You maybe lost both your parents. You may have lost some joy in your life. You may have really struggled in life financially. You may have had a whole lot of money and that wrecked your life. Don't you know that can happen as well? So there's a lot of things that we gather as men and women, but Paul is speaking to women in particular, that it's just, we're just gathering these hurts and these scars as we go through life. These lines in our face are a little bit of a map of the pain we've gone through. And so what can happen is there can be a use of drinking, excessive drinking here it says, there can be use of drinking to escape the pain. Remember I had a friend, it was a guy, but he said this, he said, you know, he's a believer and he struggled with drinking. He said this, here's the deal. I know exactly how I'll feel after two drinks. I don't know exactly how I'll feel after reading two chapters. So for him, drink was more predictable, even though God was more faithful. Do you see the difference? Drink is not faithful. All of us could give somebody in our family that it's wrecked or ruined, right? But it's predictable how you're going to feel in many ways. And so he's saying, older ladies, I want you to be careful because in this, there can be a problem. Let me just give you a couple stats and we'll move on. You know that drinking and alcohol addiction is on the rise among women. A 2017 study put the high-risk drinking among women at or over 50% increase in the last decade. So alcoholism with women has increased 50% in the last decade. For nearly a century, women have been closing the gender gap in drinking and alcohol and binge drinking and alcohol addiction. What was usually a 3-to-1 ratio between men and women is now a 1-to-1 ratio worldwide. 1-to-1 ratio. So why do women drink? One study put it like this, to understand the public health impact of women and the wine culture, rosé all day, one must understand why women drink. And specifically, why do moms drink? The wine mommy culture isn't making moms drink. Instead, it is a pop culture reflection of the real unaddressed issues in society in the lives of women. These are deep-seated, complex, underlying troubles that can't easily be solved. They range from professional and personal pressures to fundamental ideas about the role of women and mothers in today's society. So what am I saying? I'm saying Paul is calling his shot on what is happening in our culture today. And older women, you've got to take your pain to Jesus. You've got to take your pain to Jesus. Last quote, National Library of Medicine says this, certainly U.S. women in their 30s and 40s are drinking more than in previous decades, suggesting that this harms indicative of heavy drinking will increase among this age group. Yet adolescent and young adult women are drinking less than ever previously observed in survey data. So older women are drinking more than ever and younger women are drinking less than ever. And Paul says here to the older women, he says, ladies, I know there's pain, but you got to take it to the Lord. You're just masking it. You're just numbing it. It will be there the next day. But only Jesus can really heal the heart. So be aware. Look at this in your life and look at it in our culture. And you can see it. And that's why Paul says these things. Be careful. Nobody is immune. Nobody's immune. We can all get in a really bad space really quick. And if you need coffee in the morning and wine at night, every day, you need to get some help and talk to somebody. You need to wake up and go to sleep. You got to have that. Okay? So did I go on a Baptist pastor rant? I did not. Did I give you some wisdom we need to think about in our culture? I sure did. And it comes straight from the Word of God where he says to older women, doesn't say it to older men, doesn't say it to younger men, doesn't say it to younger women. He says it to older women. You be careful of excessive drinking. Now, let's jump to the next one. It says that she would teach good. It's there, not slanderers. We're in verse 3. Not slaves to excessive drinking. They are to teach what is good so that they may encourage the young women. We'll get to that in a second. Investing her life in others, teaching what is good. What's the fourth thing an older woman needs to do on this Mother's Day? Needs to invest her life in younger women to teach what is good. Invest your life in others. I mean, we need to hear your wisdom as men as well, not negating that. But to be able to invest your life in other people. Let that be a great thing. We have mentorship aspects and avenues at all of our campuses. We usually don't have problems with young people wanting a mentor. We usually have problems finding the mentor. So older women, we need you to say, I'm going to invest my life in some ladies because I've walked some paths here and I'm going to have my life be invested in somebody else, older men as well, to be able to do that. You are tremendously needed. Your time is not past. We need your wisdom. Now watch what happens. He's going to transition in verse 4. This is verse 3. It says, so they are to teach what is good so that they may encourage the younger women. Now, younger women, here we go. Three attributes you're going to get on this Mother's Day. So that they may encourage the younger women. That's going to be two so that's that we're going to see in the scripture. So that, so you do all these things, ladies, so you have the witness and the wisdom to encourage younger women to love their husbands, number one, to love their children, number two, to be self-controlled, pure workers at home, kind and submissive to their husbands so that God's word will not, another so that God's word will not be slandered. Here's the three things for younger women, and then we're going to land the plane. Three aspects that make younger women impactful. How do you have an impact as a younger woman? Here's the younger woman impactfulness. Here's what you can have. Number one, love your husband. Love your husband. Now, this is really interesting, ladies. Listen to this. This is the only time in the Bible that women are called and commanded to love their husband. Isn't that interesting? The only time in the Bible. Most of the places in the Bible, the woman is called to respect and to submit to her husband's leadership. But this time it says, I want you to love. I want you to love. I asked my wife about this. She said this. I thought this was wise. I love the children differently than I love you. I love our kids different than I love you. Hear this and see if maybe you don't agree with this. This is her thought. I think it's good. She said this. I love you, being me, with respect, and I love the kids through nurture. Okay? I love you, my husband, through respect. I love the kids through nurture. Now, guys, you kind of go, I like that. That sounds good. Now, what happens if you flip that and the kids get anything they want from mom? Oh, sure. You're the boss. And dad gets another mom. Not going to work quite as well. Okay? Ladies, we don't want another mom. We want a wife. Kids need that nurture, of course. Men need that respect. And so in this place, the first thing that he says, ladies, young ladies, those in the home here, I want you to see and I want you to love your husbands. I want you to love your husbands. And that's the only place in the scripture that he tells us. And then other places, Paul's going to say respect. He's going to say honor. He's going to say follow their leadership. All of those sort of things. Now, you have to quickly say in today's culture, we're not talking about an abusive leadership. We're not talking about a push-down leadership. We're talking about a godly man that's worthy of following. As he follows the Lord and follows Christ, you're able to follow him as a family. So guys, we got to rise up to be the kind of men we just talked about so that the ladies can feel comfortable in the leadership of the home with the husband there as well and to be able to move in that. Now, does that mean you don't discuss things? Of course you discuss things. If you don't discuss things with your wife, there's a Greek word called idiot, okay, is what it is here. I mean, are you stupid? Do you need a sermon on that? Of course you talk about things with the woman of wisdom in the home. Absolutely. Number two, love your kids. This typically comes very natural for a woman. Love your kids typically comes very natural for a woman. So loving your kids. A mother's love, let me give you a little poem on Mother's Day. The love of a mother is never exhausted. It never changes. It never tires. It endures through all, in good times and in bad. In the face of world's condemnation, a mother still loves on. Isn't that true? Your mama is always there. Spanish proverb says this, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priests. Ounce of mother is worth a ton of priests. And that's true. There's nothing like the love of a mom. Nothing like it. I so appreciate my mom and her love for me. I get texts from my mom after I preach. She's in our church and that was the best message ever. This is great. I never hear a bad word about you. I'm like, Mom, do you think anybody's going to tell you a bad word about me? I mean, what's going to happen? But mother's love, there's nothing like it, right? There's nothing like it. Loving your kids, loving your kids. Number three, or let me throw this in. Well, we'll keep on going. Be impactful. Be impactful. Control yourself. Walk with purity. Care. Prioritize. This is what it says. It says, be self-controlled, pure, workers at home, kind, in submission to their husbands. So Paul picks it back up with what happens all throughout the scriptures. So be impactful. Walk in those ways. Here's the way I'd like to put it for you, where it says workers at home and submission to husband. Be impactful. And prioritize the most important people in your life, okay? Prioritize the most important people in your life, ladies. Your work is important. It's great. Work outside the home. That's wonderful. That's fine. If that's what you want to do, then that's wonderful. Nobody's saying you can't. But prioritize the people that really are going to be with you for the long haul. And men, we should do that with our work as well. We should prioritize our families above our workplace as well. So we've got here that we've got to have a priority that's there because ladies, we need you tremendously. Do you know how needy we are as men? My wife went on a little trip. It's just a little trip, just like a couple days, just a couple nights away. One of my kids walked into the kitchen and I'm there. I'm getting the day going. I'm ready to take to school. I got my laptop open. I'm trying to hit out a few things before I get to the office, and she walks in, my daughter walks into the kitchen, and she says this, oh yeah, no mom means no breakfast and no lunch. And I said, yeah, you're right. Here's $20, right? And then I looked, and I wondered why our dog was hovering by the bowl, and I realized I hadn't fed him in 24 hours. He's a spiritual dog and needed a time of prayer and fasting, okay, is what he needed. Now, for those that are easily offended that think I just relegated my wife to only feeding the kids and the dog, get over it. That's not what her whole purpose is, all right? I'm just telling you, things fall apart if, ladies, if you're not involved in our lives as men. We need you greatly. We need you greatly in all different ways. So insert it however you want to. We really need you. And so he says, love your husbands, love your children, and walk with a great impact of putting the most important people to be the most important people in your life. And that goes for men and women. Now watch what happens, younger ladies. Watch this next so that, and we're going to wrap up and we'll be done. Watch what happens. All these things, watch, end of verse 5, so that God's word will not be slandered. Younger women, women in the home, women on Mother's Day, all these things we're saying, by age, by stage, whatever it is. You follow God so that, this is an amazing responsibility, so that the word of God shows true. What's eternal? the word of God and the souls of men. Everything else is temporary. And you have the blessing, sure the burden, the blessing and the responsibility that if you live your life in the ways Paul is telling Titus to tell his church, you will honor the word of God, and the word of God to all the world will be proclaimed. So older women, you, men, we don't get a so that in any of this. Older women, you get a so that. You know what your so that was? Your so that is so that you could teach the younger women. And then the younger women get a so that, and their so that is so amazing. It's the Bible being shown as true. I mean, get that in Siena, get that in Cyprus, get that downtown, get that Luke, get that digital family. That's a powerful place for younger women to be within the home and within the impact of what's happening so that God's word will ring true. Last thing, and we're done. Hope you've been doing our church-wide devotional called Walking with God. If you don't have one, all campuses, we have them available. The entire church is reading this. It's great. Last weekend on Sunday, and I was like, ooh, I wish that would have been this Sunday for Mother's Day. But last weekend, you may remember, on May 5th, it talked about the courage of a mom, the courage of specifically Moses' mom. Here's what it says. You maybe have never heard her name, but Moses' mother was one of the greatest mothers of all time. Jochebed was a woman of courage. That's the first paragraph. Last paragraph, it says this. Christian parenting takes courage. Society will draw our children away from the godly values that we want to instill them. But like Jochebed, we can set our fears aside and risk anything necessary to teach our children to follow Jesus Christ. Can you think of anything better? The Bible actually says it like this. I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. And for those of you that your children are not walking in truth, you know there's no greater pain than a prodigal. And so we bring them to the Lord as well. So wrapping it up, in a culture that says we don't need men, we don't need women, a culture that's obsessed with youthfulness, in a culture that keeps trying to tell us church is an event, not a family, Paul says, older men, you be like this. You be a Charlie Poor. Younger men, don't go off the rails. You stay controlled. Older women, you are incredibly valuable and we need you and we need your wisdom. And younger women, you take these things of the Lord and give them to Him and you will have an impact of biblical proportion. And you may just be a Jochebed with a Moses in your home. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for every man, every woman, young, old, middle-aged. And we tell you, we want to be like we have just heard about. What did you hear God say to you in your category of life that you just need to confess back to Him in this moment? Lord, when Pastor Greg said X, I heard you. I heard you. And I'm going to do Y. There's going to be a change. I need that. Thank you for that word, Lord. Pray that to God right now. What'd you hear Him say? What are you going to do about it? Are you grateful to hear the voice of God? Father, there's something for each of us in here. And we just tell you, Lord, we want to walk in those ways. Do your work, God. Do your work. All campuses, all places, we have people that would love to talk to you as we worship in just a moment. Thank you, God. Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at the Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.